site is the oldest excavated site in Jericho, which contains the oldest known civilization in the world. As you said, this has been through numerous occupations, numerous wars, yes. numerous famines, diseases, yes. and it's all piled up in the history yes. here.
Yeah. So all of this history accumulated close to the spring of Ain Sultan.
Yes.
Because of this, we found here several stratas of phase and phases. If we look in the sections of this trench, which excavated by Kathleen Kenyon during the 50s, of the last century, we found, for example, a strata with light gray color. Then there's brown layer of earth. Then another, let's say, dark brown or gray layer.
Yes.
And each layer have its own history, have its own period.
So actually, you say these layers, do they have anything to do with human habitation?
Yes. If we are closed down, we, for example, find some, because the lower stratas and layers dated back to the prehistoric period. So we will find the tools which used by the ancient man in Palestine in these layers. We will find some knives or flints or hand axes or arrowheads from flints in these layers. We will find some huts or small rooms, the corner of them, or some installations related to that period. But the magnificent, let's say, discovery was this huge tower. And this tower, to the west of it, there is another stone wall, which nowadays covered by the filling of the earth from the both section of this this trench. The diameter of this tower is about 8 meters, and the same as its height. And the tower have 22 stairs, which go from the bottom to the top, create this stele, or pile of earth.
Just incredible. And how old is this tower?
This is 10,000 years ago.
10,000
years ago.
And it's the first tower of its type in the world in that era.
The huge structure in the world, not only in Palestine, in the world at that time, this tower. If we want to compare it, we can compare it with Çatalhöyük in Turkey. But this is more huge and earlier than that one. The ancient name of Jericho during the second millennium BC, and it was found with this princess as a necklace, and mentioned the name of Rauha, and Rauha could
be here on
yes,
this,
on this, Rauha. On this one, Rauha, and this is the necklaces which found with the object, the funerary object which found with it. So it. Show that the name of Jericho exists at that time.
As described by Dr. Wael, all of these historical sites in Area A are well renovated and looked after and are great for tourism here. But now we're going to go to Area C under full Israeli military control, where many of the historical sites are looted and the items end up in Israeli museums. Our aim was to enter Herod's palace in Area C under full Israeli military control. However, we were prevented from filming in the area by the Israeli army. Instead, we entered Hisham's palace in Jericho. Although this area is under Palestinian control, this wasn't always the case. In 1994, this was handed back from the Israelis to the Palestinian Authority. However, the majority of objects were looted from the site before this time. Many items now lie in Israeli museums, and they've refused to give them back to the original site. You're going to show us Hisham's palace now. Tell me a bit about this.
Yeah, Hisham's palace is an Umayyad palace since the 8th century. It was constructed in the year 724 AD, so by the Umayyads, by the Umayyad dynasty. And it was one of the Umayyad winter palaces in the Middle East.
This place hasn't always been under this kind of great preservation as it is now. At one point it was looted, there's been a lot taken from it. Where have these pieces ended up and what were the issues? Can you get them back?
The pieces, they were sent to the museums, to Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem. And most of the foundings that time, it's now in the museums, especially in Jerusalem.
So let's just come closer, and I want you to tell me a little bit about this star, where it was, and the full scape of the building.
Yeah.
What it would have looked like.
So it was a palace from was constructed from two levels.
Uh-huh.
So the first level was for the services and for bath area and the hall of the crown for the king and the caliph when he came to the palace.
Mm.
And the second level was for living for the royal family.
Mm.
And this star was on top of the second level, and it was let's say the facade of the palace.
Who controls the majority of tourists that come from around the world into this area? Do they come with Israeli tours? Do they come with Palestinian tours? Where do they get their information about this area?
Well,
The majority,
they take the information from guidebooks. In Europe, you know, you can find, and the United States, so you can find many guidebooks that advertise the places.
Yeah.
And also the travel agencies, the Israeli travel agencies are more powerful than the Palestinian travel agencies because they have more flexibility in the work. But the Palestinian travel agencies, they have regulations that they have to follow these regulations.
Mm.
Here you can find the crown room.
Mm.
Very well preserved.
Yes.
As you see, and you can see the tree of life down there with the gazelle, and you know, it's the battle between the evil and the good.
Oh, right.
So you can see here the lion. The evil is dealing with the good and making hurting the gazelle, and over there the gazelles live in peace. So, and the tree of life. So the life is full of contradiction.
I informed our guide that our next stop was the Dead Sea.
It's divided between Palestinian National Authority, Israel, and Jordan. So half of the Dead Sea is in the Jordanian, the eastern side of the Dead Sea is the Jordanian side, under the Jordanian control. The northern part, around 40 kilometers of the Dead Sea, is under in the West Bank territories.
Yeah.
So it's now sea area.
Yeah.
According to Oslo Agreement, the land was divided into A, B, and C areas. Mm. And now it's under Israeli control.
And from the grandeur of Hisham's palace in Jericho, we'll now make our way to the Dead Sea, where in 1948, a Palestinian shepherd found the Dead Sea Scrolls. A few kilometres from Jericho, we arrived at the Dead Sea, also known as the Salt Sea. This large lake borders Jordan to the east and Israel and Palestine to the west. It's a hypersaline lake that is truly one of Earth's unique places. This is the area in which a Palestinian shepherd had founded the first of the collection of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the most important findings in biblical history. The Dead Sea now serves as an international holiday destination. However, the Palestinians do not benefit from this, as a small strip which remains under their control also lies in Area C, and they are not permitted to build infrastructure. The Israeli side is a different story. With large hotels and heavily guarded resorts, tourists and their millions flock here every year, though quite often, the Palestinians are forbidden entry. I asked tourists how aware they were of the Israeli occupation of the surrounding areas of Jericho and how this affected the Palestinian citizens. The answers were unsurprising.
It's very difficult, and the problem is so many politicians already try to find a solution, and how should we? But I think it's very, very important that everybody is aware of it and tries to understand the situation on both sides, of course.
Jericho,
Do
you know anything about the politics?
Not the area, the Israeli area as a whole, but not just the specific area in here.
Yeah. So do you know which country this?
Yeah, this is Palestine.
This is Palestine. And what do you know about the occupation here?
Not much.
That's a really tough question. As a Christian, I guess I am like in the middle of both. You know, I really can give an opinion whether, you know, it's good or bad, because I really don't know much of the history. So we gotta know the history to know which, you know, who's right. But
you don't know the politics of the area?
No, no, no.